Hello and welcome to the Generation for Change, a broadcast series brought to you by the committee members of the G4C Southwest, part of the Constructing Excellence organisation. My name is Lizzie Painter and I'm the current chair of the G4C Southwest, and I will be your host for today's podcast as I chat to Kurt Gilmore, a geo-environmental engineer at Hydrock. Kurt, welcome.
Hiya Lizzie, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for having me on.
So far in our podcast series, we've heard from a fantastic range of individuals. We've had an operations manager, a geophysicist, an infrastructure project manager, a lawyer, a director of a construction company, and a town planner. And we're really looking forward to hearing more about your role, the National Multidisciplinary Engineering Sustainability Energy Consultancy. So I understand that Hydrock is involved across various sectors and has worked on a wide variety of award-winning engineering projects. For example, very local to me is the Wave in Bristol. And I understand, Kurt, that you have been at Hydrock for the last 3 years. So please, can you explain to the listener exactly what it is you do for Hydrock and what kind of projects you are involved with?
So effectively, I'm a geo-environmental engineer, which is quite a broad brush. We provide sort of consultancy and engineering solutions to constructors in the construction industry. And that can sort of range from the very early stage of a project, the design phase, all the way through to sort of construction phase and providing guidance as the project's actually completed and built. I guess as a whole, Hydrock is involved across like a wide variety of parts of the project. But for me personally, I tend to do more of the pre-construction phase and the design, like inputting into design. And this usually takes the form of ground investigations where we effectively go to a site, try and find out exactly what's beneath the ground there, and then we can base, you know, the foundation design, contaminated land strategy, things like that off the back of that. So I know you mentioned the Wave in Bristol, which is obviously one of Hydrock's sort of flagship projects for the past couple of years. One site that I've personally been to in the last few years that we've obviously been working on and is going into the construction phase now as well, is the Wave London, which is...
I didn't realise there was going to be one in London.
Yeah, so that is, that's going to be in North London. And we're basically redeveloping an old golf course, which had previously been built on a landfill. So it's kind of like, it's gone through all of the uses, this place, but it obviously provided several challenges, but... we've sort of completed the ground investigation phase of that, and they'll be moving on to construction soon.
That's really interesting. So because it was built on landfill, as part of your role, are you having to kind of check how stable the ground and everything is for what they're going to be building for the Wave?
Yeah, exactly. So so one of the main aspects of what we do during the ground investigation phase is actually just digging holes in the grounds, trial pits, boreholes, things like that, to sort of classify the actual material that's below the surface, and then sort of try and identify the issues that might cause when you get to a construction phase. So obviously with a landfill, it tends to be quite nasty stuff, like uncontrolled material. It's not ideal. But I think there's definitely a drive now, especially in places like central London, where space is a bit of a premium, to try and redevelop and make the most and make safe these places for use. And obviously, hopefully at the end, when everything's done, you know, you'd never be able to tell that this is what it is and what there still could be underneath the ground at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than just wasting a piece of land that's perfectly usable.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, the Wave is, I'm not entirely sure, but I think the scheduled program was for 2023 opening. So that's in the pipeline. Obviously the Wave Bristol has been open, I think, a couple of years now.
Just before the first lockdown, I think.
Yeah, so that's, I think, been a success to date. I haven't actually been myself yet, but I think, definitely gonna have to give it a go.
Yeah, no, of course. Oh, that's really interesting. If the listener wanted to understand what kind of a typical day or week for someone in your role or team is like, how would you describe that?
It's actually quite a difficult question, I'd say, because it varies quite a lot from week to week. So Some weeks you could literally be visiting sort of like a different site every day at a very early pre-construction phase, just to like carry out a walkover and try and identify, you know, the things that might come up as a very like early first look. And that can sort of vary from, you know, I work in the London office, and the environments kind of vary from, you know, the home counties, like sites in, you know, quite rural settings, woodlands, you know, farmland, places like that, to then super post-industrial sites in, you know, the Docklands of East London or Central London. It's quite variable. Obviously there are weeks where, you know, you're in an office or working from home at the moment, just like flat out writing, you know, scientific reports or, you know, doing more of the project management aspect, but it really does vary a lot. And I think that's probably one of the reasons I was drawn to it is just, it's difficult to get maybe quite as bored as you might if you were just stuck doing one thing constantly, if you understand.
Yeah, exactly. And so then is your time kind of focused across lots of different projects? You're not just working on one project?
I would say for the most part, and certainly the stage I am in my career now, I've taken more of a backseat project management role over a wide variety of projects. I think sometimes like early career, you know, if there's one big job that needs someone to be on site for every day for 6 months, then that can be a possibility too. But I think generally as you move through your career, you tend to, you know, branch out and have your finger in sort of multiple pies.
Yeah. Get exposure, experience, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that makes sense. So what would you say then has been your biggest career highlight to date?
I'd say there's quite a few to choose from. I grew up in a family where my dad works in the construction industry as well. I always thought this was really annoying when I was a kid, but when we would sort of drive around, you know, you'd get pointed out like, I built that, or I was
involved
in that, or I was involved. I remember thinking like, oh God, I hope I don't do that. I do that all the time. I really annoy my fiance with it. But there is a weird satisfaction about seeing something that was, you know, a piece of kind of waste ground, for example, in central London, and now there's something useful there. And you've kind of helped clean up the land and remediate things. And there is a weird sense of satisfaction of actually, you know, contributing positively to society in a certain way. But because you see the tangible results of a physical structure or a piece of ground that's been remediated, it's easier to sort of, you know, qualify that in your head.
Definitely.
I'd say one of the bigger sort of highlights tends to be the fact that you do just get to go out and see loads of different, like sometimes interesting places. You know, it's sometimes quite nice on a Monday morning when your job is, you know, to walk through some woodland for a couple of hours and just take some notes. And I've been lucky enough to work all over the UK and in the Middle East as well. So I've got to see some pretty cool things, like remember doing some projects in the middle of the desert in Qatar, and it's sort of like you're there as the sun's rising and stuff like that. It's not something that you forget pretty quickly.
And you're there for work as well.
Exactly, you're there for work. So it feels like a bit of a cheat code. Obviously, there are some times when, you know, you're having to do a walkover and it's absolutely hammering it down in Scotland and it's maybe not so fun, but you've got to take the rain with the shine, literally.
Of course. So would you kind of say that's your favourite thing about your role, is the variety and the fact that you're kind of out and about seeing stuff, you're not just stuck behind a desk?
Yeah, well, don't get me wrong, if you have spent a few days outside getting soaked, it's very nice to be back behind a desk as well. But the variety is, yeah, definitely a big thing for me. And certainly I think working the last couple of years actually with like hybrid working has kind of even helped that a little bit more, because, you know, you might go into the office once a week and work from home once a week, and then you've got your site visits and meetings and things like that. It's very rare that you're sort of stuck in a monotonous 9-to-5 routine. So I feel quite lucky that's an option, certainly.
No, yeah. And that's really, yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, very different from me, who is just stuck behind a desk all day.
So well, I can imagine. Yeah, but everyone's different. And I think certainly the sort of people who do a geology degree tend to be a bit outdoorsy. Yeah. A lot of them, well, certainly a lot of my peers come from sort of, you know, more like rural backgrounds where, you know, you're not so used to being completely like stuck in one place. So I think that's definitely attracts that sort of person. But I would recommend it for anyone, to be honest with you, because you know, if you're that way inclined, it's definitely good for your mental state.
Yeah, perfect fit. Oh, brilliant. Well, that kind of leads on to my next question, which is, as I'm sure you're kind of aware, the aim of these podcasts is to encourage young people to start a career in the construction engineering industry. And so I understand, you just mentioned there that you did geology at university, and I understand that's kind of graduates are a key part of Hydrock's career strategy. But can you tell us a little bit more about the apprenticeship and internship opportunities that are available at Hydrock?
For the most part, speaking of my experience within our team and the geo division especially, obviously it's quite a technical job in certain aspects, you know, the engineering side of it. So we tend to take people with degrees in, you know, geology or engineering, but obviously there's, you know, other parts of the business, project managers, you know, structural engineers, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, we do tend to take on interns. We had someone who was on a placement year join our team a couple of years ago. So she was in Plymouth University and had her third year as placement. Mm-hmm. And came on and yeah, worked for that year and has gone back now to university to finish off her degree with a fourth year.
Yeah.
We also took on someone recently who was sort of fresh out of university. They originally applied for a role that had a requirement of a little bit more university, but we sort of got a little bit more experience, We sort of came to an agreement with them to come in on sort of like a 6-month contract as an internship to sort of try and build up their experience and sort of help them get started in their career in that aspect. So Hydrock are definitely very flexible with that. And I think it's certainly something we're looking to do more of now again, is get involved with universities and look to, you know, provide a pathway directly from university into a graduate position, because it can be a bit, I know from personal experience, when I graduated, it can be a bit daunting. And you can spend a lot of time just applying for hundreds of jobs and probably not hearing a lot back. It's a bit soul destroying sometimes. So
yeah, it's the old, you need experience but you can't get experience.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit of a strange situation where everyone seems to ask for experience, even though, like, realistically you have to start somewhere. But I think, yeah, Hydrock are definitely very flexible with that, and pretty flexible within, you know, moving around within the company as well. So my colleague Matt, who came in on that 6-month internship, he came in and worked in London for 6 months, and then we obviously wanted to keep him on, and he's now moved on to live in our Bristol office. Well, yeah, not live permanently in our Bristol office, but
yeah, yeah, I hope not.
So there's definitely opportunities there, and it's something I think we're trying to formalize a little bit more at the moment. So we're looking to make those connections directly with the universities.
So then, in terms of your own career, is there kind of a linear route of progression for you at Hydrock, or is it kind of common for engineers like yourself to either go freelance or kind of cross-qualify into something else entirely?
Yeah, there's the option of both, really. I mean, I've personally worked both freelance and employed during my career. I think certainly within Hydrock, the linear progression is really there to see, because, I mean, you even go and look at our CEO, Brian McConnell, was, you know, he was a geologist and he started the company in the 90s, and, you know, that's where that's sort of taken. And there's a lot of people who've been at Hydrock since almost the very beginning who've, you know, now moved into very senior positions. And I think that's important for people to be able to see and like have that visibility, because, you know, it gives you sort of hope that, yeah, maybe in 10, 15 years that you can sort of climb that ladder as well. But yeah, working as a freelance consultant's like an option as well, definitely. You have to be a little bit more flexible with where you're going to go for projects. You might spend a lot more time away from home and sort of like living out of hotels to a certain extent, which is one of the reasons I was quite happy maybe to go down the fully employed route. But it depends on your personality. I know some people love, you know, being all over the UK. So really depends on what you want at that moment, I think.
Yeah, because you kind of mentioned that you did freelance before you came to Hydrock. But I must admit, for me personally, going freelance when I'm kind of fresh out of university sounds really kind of daunting. Is it not kind of the same way in engineering? Is there kind of a central place that will help you to find jobs? Or is there just so much work out there that it's quite easy to go freelance?
It's really variable. It depends on the wider construction industry as a whole, which obviously has its ups and downs like anything. I know for me, certainly, I did a year of employed work, and then I spent the next sort of 18 months doing just bits and pieces as a freelance sort of geophysicist. It wasn't really planned. It just sort of materialized like that I got offered to go and do a couple of months on a project somewhere. And then off the back of that, I ended up doing a little bit more. And then off the back of meeting people,
there,
I ended up doing some more. So I ended up, you know, probably doing it for a lot longer than I was anticipating to start with. But I think, you know, if you're willing to sort of build a network and build your contacts in that area, it's definitely something you can do, even early on when you're still sort of like learning your trade to a certain extent.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more kind of organic, that you'll just get led on to project to project to project based on how you've done on previous ones.
Yeah, exactly. And I know there is, I was doing this just sort of off my own sort of contact book, but you can go, you know, there are agencies and things like that if you want to work freelance, where they have client contacts and can sort of provide you with work as well. To sort of supplement stuff that you might be getting on your own. But obviously there's, you know, certain aspects of that where you may not get paid quite as much because the agency obviously takes a slight cut.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely loads of options. I know people who've sort of been contractors who just come in and out their whole career and they love it. So it's really what you want to do.
It really sounds like that, to be honest. And that's kind of the gist of what I've got from speaking to loads of people across the construction engineering industry, is that there's just a whole mass of opportunities available, and you can make your life and your job suit you, which just sounds, you know, really appealing, to be honest. You're not kind of fitting in a square hole. You can kind of do what you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously if you want to work on like massive projects, you do kind of have to be based in a city, but the construction industry is sort of, you know, ubiquitous. It's all over the UK, all over the world. You can pretty much take your profession with you anywhere you want to go. I mean, I've had a few colleagues who, you know, were from New Zealand, Australia, just came over for a couple of years to, you know, experience a different country, a different life.
Yeah.
And the role day to day was pretty similar to what they previously experienced.
So kind of moving on to the construction and engineering industry more generally, Hydrock as a company is, you know, particularly focused on sustainability. But what are the kind of key issues and themes that you personally think need to be addressed in the next few years or decades?
I definitely think that from, you know, a sustainability point of view, we need to start moving towards more, you know, regeneration of urban environments, brownfield sites, sort of like an aspect of rewilding to a certain extent, and, you know, maybe look less at converting sort of like natural, you know, green belt and things like that into housing. I think there's definitely going to be a bit of a shift just in terms of urban environments now, but I think with the advent of hybrid working, you know, there might be a lot of office space that perhaps isn't needed as much, and there's definitely going to be a drive towards, you know, reusing that space, maybe for residential, and you've got like a drive to sort of bring people back to city centres to a certain extent. And I definitely think that, you know, we need to start working towards having net carbon zero projects as standard across the industry, because I know construction is a big contributor to climate change in a way, and we need to start sort of looking at like focusing on, you know, sustainable construction projects, definitely.
Is that something that you're seeing Hydroc do, particularly with their project?
I know Hydroc as a whole have set a target to be net carbon zero at, I think, by 2030, I think it was. Yeah. So that's something we're definitely looking to move towards. Mm-hmm. From our point of view, we definitely now are trying to design things into the project to help, but it tends to be the actual constructors who will have, you know, the overriding say on things like design and how much of the land to, you know, leave to woodland or like, you know, to like soft standing, as opposed to, you know, also trying to use the space adequately to fulfill the needs of the residents who might live there in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it sounds like the active reuse of brownfield sites and, you know, contaminated land and stuff is a huge step in the right direction. It feels like only 5-10 years ago where everyone was always focusing on the green belt, etc., and that's kind of what they wanted, whereas actually there's so many opportunities in cities, especially I imagine London. Yeah, we should be reusing what we've got. We can't just keep leaving things to get derelict and left.
Yeah, 100%. And there's definitely over the course of my career been a big drive towards reusing brownfield sites, reusing ex-industrial sites.
Yeah,
I would say in London, the vast majority of the sites that you work on that are sort of like in London itself, in Greater London, are now that rather than developing, you know, greenbelt or anything like that. Because eventually, if you just keep expanding outwards, there wouldn't be anything left. I mean, London's already huge, so there's plenty of old spaces that can be reused, definitely.
Exactly. So is there anything in particular that you think the construction and engineering industry is doing well in terms of things like sustainability and climate change and value for money?
I do think, that obviously there has been a definite change from a sustainability point of view. I think certain regulation in the last 10 years has made it easier to try and, like, I want to say, do the right thing without it, you know, massively impacting your project, your finances, things like that. So there's definitely been a drive towards trying to help constructors do the correct thing in terms of the environment and sustainability and making it appealing to do so.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely something that has been pushed massively. And I think there's still work to be done, obviously, but I think in the future there's definitely scope for, you know, making the construction a quite sustainable place to be.
Yeah, no, definitely a change in mindset, which is one step in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely.
Ah, great. Well, thank you for your time today, Kurt. That was brilliant. I just have one final question, which is, if you had to describe the construction and engineering industry in three words, what would they be?
I'd definitely say varied, because, I mean, I think that's been a running theme of this interview, is just me talking about the variety of things I do. I would say innovative as well, because you do find yourself in quite interesting situations and you know, trying to engineer your way out of those can sometimes, you know, require a bit of out-of-the-box thinking. And I would say that, it's definitely more progressive now, certainly than it was when I first came into it. And I think, there's a drive towards being more progressive.